Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
As ever, on occasions like these, we base our remarks on a reading from the Word of God, the Bible, and I'm going to read to you from a little book near the end of the New Testament part of our Bible. It's the first epistle by John. John, the apostle, he wrote five books in the New Testament. There's the Gospel by John, and then the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and he also wrote three little letters. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and we're reading from 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John 4, and we're going to read at verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Now that is our reading from the Bible for today, and we trust that God will bless his word to us. I'm sure you understand that when we call a meeting like this a gospel service or a gospel meeting, that word gospel, it really means good news. So it's all good news. And the Bible speaks of the gospel as the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this little passage that we've read this afternoon, there's quite a number of things said about the Lord Jesus that could be of interest to us. Three times we read that he was sent by God into the world. And that's what I want to focus on this afternoon, the fact that he was sent and the purpose for which he was sent. The Bible uses different language when it describes the Lord Jesus coming into this world. It does speak of him coming. And it says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But then sometimes it does speak about him being sent by his Father from heaven. In fact, he spoke himself about the fact that he was the one whom the Father had sanctified, that is set apart and sent into the world. So it's good to know, my friends, that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal God, was sent by his Father into this world. We read, first of all, that he was sent that we might live through him. That is verse number 9 of the passage. It's a manifestation of God's love for us. How God proved his love towards us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then the next verse tells us that although we hadn't loved God, he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now see that word propitiation, that's not a word that you use every day of the week, is it? And that would need a wee bit of explanation. And so we'll come to that in a moment or two. The fact that he was sent to be a propitiation for our sins. And then at verse 14, John tells us, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Three reasons for which he was sent into the world, that we might live through him, that he might be the propitiation for our sins, and that he might be the Saviour of the world. Now, there's some Irish folk here today. I'm going to deal with this in an Irish way. We'll start at the end and we'll work backward. Is that all right? So we're going to think, first of all, of the fact that he was sent to be the Saviour of the world. My dear friends, This world needed a saviour. And it's good to know that even our late Queen understood that. In one of her Christian messages, she made the point that when God sent his Son into the world, he didn't send him to be a general or a philosopher or something like that. He sent him to be a saviour. You see, we needed saving. Saving from our sins. And even prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, we all needed to be saved from our sins. You see, the Bible likens sin to being a taskmaster, a boss, dominating human life, bringing people into slavery. The Lord Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. So we needed saving, set free from the power of evil in our lives. I don't know how often you come to the hall here, but it could be that sometimes when you pass out through the door, you're saying to yourself, well, I didn't understand everything that that man said today. It was way above my head. Now, folks, at this moment in the meeting, I am not speaking about anything that is way above your head. There have been times when you've got up in the morning and you've said to yourself, I'm going to beat that habit today. Maybe you get into the habit of using God's name as a swear word, using profane language, and you say, I'll need to stop that now, and I'll start today. Today's the day. And the morning hasn't half gone when some incident crops up and you've blasphemed again. And the next day you got up in the morning and you said, well, I didn't do too well yesterday, but today's the day. And you make a bigger effort. Same old story. Might not be blasphemy, it could be telling lies or whatever. Because one way or another, sin gets a hold upon us. We need to be saved from our sins, my friend. Isn't it good that he bore the name of Jesus, the Saviour? The Father had sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. The Son. He was the Son of God. And you know what he said? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You can be liberated from the power of sin. We love to sing an old hymn. My chains are snapped. The bonds of sin are broken. And I am free. Have you been saved from your sins? Do you know Jesus, the Saviour, in your life? Have you repented and turned to him and appealed for his mercy and trusted him as your Saviour? He was sent to be the Saviour. But you know, friends, we don't only need to be saved from our sins. There's a little verse in the book of Romans chapter 5 which speaks about being saved from wrath. That is the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the punishment for our sins, in other words. Because as we'll see in a moment or two, God just can't ignore sin. It's got to be punished. And he doesn't punish sin in this lifetime. I know we can invite trouble. A person who's an excessive drinker could easily fall victim to the disease of cirrhosis of the liver. They can bring it upon themselves. And somebody who's reckless with their cash, well, wouldn't be long before they would be on the rocks. We can invite trouble, but that is not God punishing us for our sins. The Bible says after death is the judgment. There's a place of punishment beyond the grave that the Lord Jesus called hell. Or elsewhere he spoke about a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Solemn that, isn't it? Eternal judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be saved from that eternal judgment. And I'm glad to tell you that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. There's only one Saviour. You know, it's good to know that he is the Saviour of the world. And it's good to know that he is our Saviour, that he does have the ability to save. That was the message that the angels brought to the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. He is our Saviour, and he is the Saviour. He's the only one. But Mary in the Bible called him my Saviour. Now, I have a strong feeling that maybe the majority of people in this congregation here in the Gospel Hall in Hospital Hill this afternoon can say, he's my Saviour. And they can pinpoint a time in their lives when they realise, I'm a guilty sinner deserving of God's judgment. But if he died for sinners, then he died for me. And they called on the name of the Lord. And the Bible promises, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they can say, he's my Saviour. Now, what about you? Can you say, he's my Saviour? So, it's good to know that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. But I did indicate to you that God cannot ignore our sin. And that's where this big word propitiation comes in. And we said from verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me explain it this way. If he was going to be the Saviour of the world, then somehow or another, sin had to be accounted for. God, as I say, just couldn't ignore it, couldn't sweep it under the rug, couldn't turn a blind eye to it, whatever metaphor you want to use. No, it had to be punished. So how could God express his love to us and at the same time punish our sins? Well, God's justice clamoured for the punishment of our sins. But you know, the Lord Jesus was sent to be the propitiation. That is, his death on the cross was a sacrifice. A sacrifice that satisfied God, allowing him to express his love towards us in saving our souls and in forgiving our sins. And yet at the same time, our sins had been accounted for. There's a little story in the Bible about a runaway slave called Onesimus. He'd run away from his master, a man called Philemon, and it seems to me in reading his story that he'd actually stolen money to finance his escape. But then when he got to Rome, somehow or another, he came in contact with Paul, and Paul explained to him how he needed to be saved, and he did get saved, amazingly. The runaway slave got saved. But then the time came for him to go back to his master. And Paul says, I'll write a wee letter and you can take it with you. And it's called in the Bible, the letter to Philemon. And Paul writes to Philemon and he says, I'm sending this man back to you. And if he does owe you something, put that to my account. I'll pay for him. It's as if the Lord Jesus says, see all these people there? They're bankrupt spiritually. They don't have a penny that they can pay to get to heaven or to get absolution for their sins. That's not a thing they can do. Their best efforts are tainted by evil. I'm willing to pay the price. And on the cross, my dear friends, to quote a hymn that we sometimes sing from the Red Book, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. And because he died and shed his blood and gave his life, God can say to you today, sir, I'm able to save your soul. Madam, I can forgive your sins. I can take you to heaven. God says I'm able to do it because my Son was sent to be the propitiation for sins. I wonder if in your mind's eye you can view him on that cross, crown of thorns on his brow, hands and feet cruelly pierced, every bone in his body out of joint, every muscle screaming, and the darkness, and the awful sin-bearing, and the fact that it was in my interests and in your interests. You might say, preacher, are you going to heaven? Well, indeed I am. Oh, you say you're very presumptuous. Not a bit. I'm not going to heaven because there's any merit in me. I haven't done a thing to deserve it. All I can say to you today is this. My passport to heaven is this. I'm a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Are you willing to take that ground today and say, well, I'm the sinner for whom Christ died, and I'm willing to believe in him. I'll trust in him as my saviour. He's the saviour of the world. I want to make him my personal saviour. But then we read too that he was sent into the world as a manifestation of God's love for us, and he was sent that we might live through him. That we might live. And the inference there is that we were dead. Now, we weren't literally, physically dead, but as far as our relationship with God was concerned, the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And God wanted us to be brought from that condition of spiritual death and to be given eternal life. And the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Do you have that gift of God? Do you have eternal life? It's a gift. We speak about stretching out the empty hand of faith to receive that gift. But you've got to do it. The gift of God is eternal life. And one of the purposes for which the Lord Jesus came into the world was that we might live. I mentioned a reason that he came was he came into the world to save sinners. Here's another reason. He said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God doesn't want you to go through life discontented, discouraged, bored, living in your nerves, unhappy, afraid to die. He doesn't want you to go through life like that. He wants you to have life, abundant life. He wants you to be rejoicing. And it's possible for you today to believe in the Saviour and you'll receive the gift of eternal life. You'll become one of his sheep, and he gives his sheep life, abundant life. He was sent that we might live through him. Of course, eternal life is received in the here and now. It's a quality of life that is far better than anything we could enjoy in the ways of the world. But you know, eventually, its full expression will be seen after we die. The Bible speaks about the hope of eternal life. So when a person believes in the Saviour, they get eternal life now, but in its fullness, they'll enjoy it in heaven. Are you going to heaven when you die? Well, you say, I'm not thinking of dying too soon. No, nobody is. We push morbid thoughts away to the back of our mind. But friend, we've got to be realistic. We've got to realise that the grim reaper is stalking the land, and he calls on one here and one there and one here and one there. I say, supposing he came knocking at your door today, where would you be? Heaven? Or hell? It's only those who receive eternal life now who will be in the enjoyment of eternal life in heaven. The Bible speaks about those who die without Christ as dying in their sins. And Christ said, where I am, they'll never be. And so I'm appealing to you at the end of our little gathering today. Think about our Saviour. We've come to trust him, and we enjoy the company of Christ along the pathway of life and anticipate being with him for eternity. and we commend him to you. And we tell you he is worthy of your trust. And he was sent in your interests to be the saviour of the world, to be the propitiation for our sins, sent that we might live through him. We thank God that he was sent into the world. Let's pray and ask God's blessing.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.